Hey, do you want to invest a few grand in my company? As of today, you can. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Today is opening day for a new kind of crowdfunding. For the first time, startup companies will be able to seek out small investors by using the same sort of model as Kickstarter and Indiegogo, which means just about anyone can be a venture capitalist. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here to explain. Good morning, Lewis.
Good morning.
So what's the background on this new crowdfunding investment scheme? Why now?
Well, the whole idea was part of a law passed in 2012. Right now, crowdfunding sites can ask for donations and offer rewards. Under this new model, the people who give can become investors in the companies and share in the profits that might come out of that investment. Folks making under $100,000 a year can give up to $2,000 this way. And companies can raise up to $1 million from these investors. The idea is smaller companies then don't have to go find some rich individual investor.
So these rules go into effect today, but remind us what's changing.
It's a big deal because being an investor at all has been pretty limited. Basically, you had to make at least $200,000 and show the Securities and Exchange Commission just how much money you had. Those laws go back to the 1930s, and in theory, they were designed to protect investors. This will kind of open that up so anyone can be a venture capitalist.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the question that comes up now. Shouldn't we worry that, you know, someone could be duped into giving away their life savings to some crowdfunding promise that doesn't materialize?
That is a concern and a real risk. The SEC was concerned about it, too. They took 3 years to come out with rules about this. There are 685 pages of rules. All these transactions have to go through registered broker-dealers or approved online portals, which there are just a handful of so far.
Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thank you very much. Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down about 0.5% right now. Over in France, the CAC 40 is down a little over 1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. Traditionally, white-collar workers do not get overtime. But the Labor Department is expected to issue a ruling soon that might change that for millions of people. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Right now, workers don't get overtime if they're managers and administrative workers, making at least about $23,000 a year. So, say a convenience store manager may work long hours but not get overtime. The Obama administration wants to change that.
It's a major attempt to reduce the wage gap.
That's Gary Chason. He teaches labor relations at Clark University. He says the Labor Department is expected to almost double the amount of money these workers can make and still get overtime, and that would have the biggest impact on
hotels, restaurants, service establishments.
David Barmack is a labor law attorney who represents employers. He's worried the Labor Department will raise the salary threshold for making overtime too much, too fast. He says employers might cut workers' hours.
And that will mean that there's a cap, if you will, on the wage-earning ability of those employees.
The Labor Department estimates that almost 5 million white-collar workers would be entitled to overtime under the new rule. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio here. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We give you the context we think you need to understand what's happening in the economy and why it matters to you. Some context on us: we are a nonprofit service and rely on donations from our listeners to keep going. Your gift, in any amount, will be automatically doubled this month thanks to the generosity of Newman's Own Foundation. And we've just made special Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses available to thank you for your support. Donate today at marketplace.org.
If you look at week earnings from Macy's and other big department stores, you get a pretty dismal picture for retail. I believe the term I used last week was meh. Big chains are pushing e-commerce to try to compete with Amazon and successful discounters, but there are new retailers starting up. Some of them are even thriving in the middle of all of this. They embrace the web, but they don't shun the old-fashioned storefront either. From the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, here's Mitchell Hartman.
Architect Herb Heiserman at development firm StreetSense is a connoisseur of retail design. He's surfing the website for Shinola, Detroit-based maker of hip timepieces and other stuff.
You click on that immediately, made in the USA, handcrafted. And then when you go in the store, the craftsmanship of the millwork matches the watches and the leather and the bicycles.
Heiserman says Shinola's brand infuses every sales channel, from the floor displays to the pull-on-your-heartstrings online videos.
We're committed to the idea of making bikes in America.
Now let's meet a new retail entrepreneur in Portland. He's a bartender who a year ago launched an online store for handcrafted bar tools.
Lucas Plant. The business is Bull in China. It was born out of necessity, being career bartenders and having products that didn't function as well as we needed. And cocktail stir glass, you know, you got about a 2 week to a month shelf life. The bases completely pop off.
Plant and his two business partners saw first a problem they wanted to solve: cheap glassware from China saturating the market. Second, potential customers, professional and home bartenders who might pay a premium for durability, vintage design, made in America.
We found local glassblowers, metalsmiths, woodsmiths. Right here, this is a cocktail stir glass, hand-blown spruce pine for your stirred cocktails, martini, Sazerac, your old-fashioned.
Launching online only kept overhead low and let them reach an international market. Sales are rising, though Bull in China faces plenty of competition from dot-com discounters and high-end sites like Cocktail Nation. One ingredient definitely in their mix, passion.
A lot of bar tools, they were designed for function, not for aesthetics. Tools should be beautiful.
I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Cash for trash. That's the deal at a small bank in Sulawesi, Indonesia, according to Bloomberg News. Customers are able to open accounts and make deposits of recyclables and then convert them to their monetary value. The local government has committed to paying set prices for recyclables, so there's price stability and less pressure on landfills. Bloomberg reports no defaults yet. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.